Today's show is sponsored by Arnold Schwarzenegger's one-sided chess set.
I'll be black.
This is The Technical Difficulties. We're playing Citation Needed. I have an almost randomly selected article from everybody's favourite reliable source of knowledge, Wikipedia, and these folks can't see it. Every fact they get right is a point and a ding, as a special prize for particularly good answers, which is...
Mystery Biscuits!
Oh, yeah.
And today we have an article with multiple issues.
Oh!
It needs additional citations. It may need to be rewritten entirely. But nevertheless, we are talking... about the flag of Mars.
This is a question about the people who make galaxy chocolate, yes?
Yes, totally, yes. It's a bit like a Japanese flag, only it's a big Malteser in the middle.
Surely that's a Maltese flag.
He's got you there! He got me banged to rights!
Meanwhile, across the river, there is the flag of Cadbury's.
Yes.
Solid. We march beneath a purple banner to glory.
Just loading cannons again with Maltesers. Just as grape shot.
This is the most delicious battle.
Yeah, but
it's still pretty good.
Honeycomb and chocolate in the eye at velocity. So goggles obviously is the first consideration.
Yeah.
We can all agree.
Hershey's won't join until 1941.
And it'll just be terrible anyway. Yeah. That's more of a comment on their chocolate.
Cadbury's sending in the first mounted Freddos. First.
No, they'd send in Tazzers. Could you imagine the devastation?
That's why Freddos went up to 20p. There was a shortage after the battle.
Right. Massacre.
Caramel guts sprayed all over the place.
Leave me. Leave me. Go on yourself. I've just got the thought of Mars, like the multiple rocket launches in World War II, a Mars bar like that.
I've just got the idea that the Swiss chocolate is sitting in the middle. No.
Curly Whirly's used as trenching ladders.
Using Revels as grenades.
Do you remember the Cadbury's Caramel Rabbit?
Yes, I
do. Florence Nightingale.
I was thinking she was the cheesecake for the troops.
Oh, crikey. Steady, lad.
On the Ensa shows.
Be still.
Hi, boys. I'll just undo the wrapper slightly.
Show us your gooey centre. That's the greatest laugh I've ever heard.
Don't make him self-conscious of his laugh.
No,
he's got to keep it going.
It was actually, you know what? Horribly, I was laughing over the thought of like one-legged Freddos. Yeah, I lost the leg back in 15 in the chocolate.
I mean, they did melt a new one onto me, but it's not the same.
It's a leg from a Santa.
I just got the thought of, Tazza's riding those lint rabbits.
Lint's German, isn't it? It's not Swiss. I thought, yeah, Swiss neutrality, but yeah.
Yeah.
Charge! Oh, Christ, have I told you about this when I went to the lint factory?
Hello.
In Germany.
Did you find the weapons stockpile?
No. Sadly, it's even better than that. Because, you know, you go to the Cadbury's thing, and it's pretty much on the site of the real factory.
Yeah.
You just... one room over. Well, Lynn have got this little one that's sort of on an island in one of the rivers. I forget which German city it is. I do apologise. And so you're going through and they've got the fake little factory bit and then there's this big display board about Mr. Lint.
Okay.
So he said, da-da-da. Mr. Lint started this company in blah, 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 in da-da-da-da-da. Then the war starts. Sadly, Mr. Lint was tragically killed in 1918. It's like, so he went to war, you know, he was bombing raid or, you know, whatever. No, Mr. Lint died when one of his own fondant boilers exploded and covered him in delicious goo.
Good
chocolate.
And if someone didn't say that at the time, I know it's a little bit soon, but death by chocolate.
I can hear the damn muted trombone.
No, it was horrifically heated caramel, Vicar. And
there's a reason the casket is closed.
But still good.
In death as in life, Mr. Lint was delicious.
All right, he now may be just the human equivalent of a dime bar.
Bad time you're taking us into water, Matt.
Soft on the outside, crunchy on the inside. Mr. Lint.
I almost feel sorry for a man who's been dead nearly 100 years. A long time ago.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Galaxy!
We were talking about the flag of Mars.
Yes. Is it red?
Only in part.
Is the red bit red?
Yes.
Ah, there we go.
Point.
Yay!
Not sure why.
Is the red bit a Mars shape, a circle?
No, not at all. It's very much symbolic. And
is it a red horizon and then sort of a black upper band or something?
Ooh, close to that.
Blue upper band.
Oh, with two stars, the Earth and the Moon? And the Sun?
No. I'm going to give you a point for blue band as well. We've got a red band, a blue band.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's a tricolour, like the French flag or the German
flag.
Right,
okay, right. What, sideways?
Sideways.
Red, blue.
Red, blue and green after Kim Stanley Robinson's Mars trilogy.
No way! No way!
Red Mars, green Mars, blue Mars, in that order, representing past and possible futures of Mars.
All right, green being when we
managed to terraform it.
And blue when it has water, yes.
Right, so the green is a bit where we sort of turf it over and have a country park or something like that. Yeah,
that's just that's where we're going to send all the football because we don't need it here on Earth.
I would disagree.
That is a great, great idea.
No. You don't have to agree. You're welcome to Mars too.
I will be on the supporters bus to Mars back on a Saturday.
No, I just like the idea of low gravity football now.
Mm, oh, that's got a certain charm to it, hasn't it?
Sod to control.
You hoof it and it comes back and it's
well,
in the head.
Did you ever play sort of Brazilian football at school where you're in the hall and off the walls is perfectly valid?
Yes, I did. Yes,
I never played that.
Oh, it's great. It's a game of football I can actually get behind. Imagine that if we could get one of these floaty, you know, the big fan chambers where you pretend you're skydiving.
Oh, no. See, I've been to one of them. You can't control anything in it.
Your bladder?
Yes, you have to wear a diaper. But
Tom Scott's anti-gravity
nappy, surely.
Tom Scott pissing in the wind.
I'm singing in the rain.
Oh, you horrible human beings. So what's relative gravity on Mars?
Give me a moment.
It's more than the moon.
It's nearly 1:1, isn't it?
It's actually about a third of gravity, 0.37.
Really?
Yeah.
What,
okay.
So I'm going to
grasp sketchily here with my poor knowledge of physics, but are we now talking about a pitch that's three times the size for the ball to come down, or do we just make the ball three times heavier?
I don't think you ask players to control themselves, quite frankly.
You make it a game of subtlety and finesse.
Yes, and learn the Martian game.
Tell who actually bothered by football here.
Because you'd be able to jump higher. So theoretically...
Oh, headers would be marvellous.
I think with like a third gravity, you could expect someone to be able to jump over someone else. Yeah. I don't think that's an unreasonable...
It'd be like Quidditch.
I'm just thinking, actually, we take it back to the futsal thing and off the ceiling is perfectly valid.
Oh, you would have to have a ceiling. You're right. You would have to have a roof.
That solves it.
You'd have to be indoors and therefore...
Because otherwise you're going to be running for miles to get the damn ball
and
back.
And a third gravity, potentially. I mean, how long could you sort of do the halfway wall running thing under those auspices? I'm just going to dribble it 3 feet up on the wall here past you, you know.
I wouldn't, no, I wouldn't allow that. I think you'd, no, I wouldn't be fine with it with running up the wall.
What if you had...
Well,
like
you're not, you're
curved,
running along the wall. Curved. Oh, yeah.
Like a velodrome.
Like a halfback.
Yeah, because then...
Big halfback.
Because you'll be able to get enough speed up to sort of do these curving
runs.
It's
not the spirit of the game. I think people just have to accept it.
Oh, yeah,
not in the spirit of the game.
The spirit of the game is on...
Is on Mars. Yes. Well, I think that Mars City, as they will undoubtedly be known, or United, there may be two teams. Maybe they'll support two teams. I don't know. Would inevitably have a home advantage.
The Mars Derby.
The Mars Derby would be...
No, they wouldn't have a home advantage. Don't forget that the original premise is we're shipping every one of the buggers up there.
Oh, no, I was just thinking of starting having a team up there.
No, ship them all
off.
One
hell of an away trip.
Goodbye.
It'd be like when QPR had AstroTurf pitch. Everyone said they had an unfair advantage. I think it'd be the same with Mars United. I think they would have an unfair advantage.
Because they'd have all the breathing apparatus.
They would.
Like Arnie in Total Recall.
I tell you what, the away attendances would be shocking, wouldn't they?
When you're a few years
down... It's a very lifeless crowd here today.
When you're a few years down the line, though, would you have people who'd grown up on Mars who are presumably taller, more adapted to gravity?
Like they couldn't transfer to the Earth game, could they? They wouldn't have a muscle tone. They'd look at us in a race of semi of old dwarves, wouldn't they?
Hmm.
Which is why I think we should just nuke Mars now. Nip this in the bud. Get the first dibs in.
What you're saying is we should just fire a Mars at Mars now.
Yes, I think we really should. And to leave the Freddos where they are. They've suffered enough.
Eat nuggety death, you Martian bastards.
Well, I'm just thinking, because there's the idea of rods from God.
Yes,
hyper-accelerated
Mars bar.
Yeah, just rods from God. Do you know the concept? The idea that the only space weapon you really need is a big titanium rod just sitting on a satellite. And then when you're over the city you want,
you just drop it.
Poor titanium rod.
I
sat
like
up there
so you get like Rod Stewart and drop him on.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that's
more
that's more psychological warfare. You parachute him in still alive.
My name is Titanium Rod. And I, ironically, am the man who's in charge of the titanium rod.
When it arrives, it has as much kinetic energy as an atomic bomb
yeah.
would explode, and it levels the city. And all you need to do is get the thing up there in the first place.
How
all you
do
need
that?
To do, yeah.
Someone will drop one, won't they, while they're up there?
Oh, bugger. Oh, there she goes.
So is
this Chicago? I've got some bad news.
There's actually a thing that would prevent both, you know, a legal thing that prevents both the development of weapons like that, and it's the reason the flag of Mars isn't official. Does anyone know what it is?
Who owns Mars?
I bet they've sold off plots of it like they have on the moon.
Yeah.
They absolutely have, but again, this is the thing that prevents it. Does anyone know what the...
No.
The International Treaty on Not Being a Dick About Mars.
I'm going to give you a point. It's the Outer Space Treaty.
Yeah, Interstellar Treaty.
Yeah. The Outer Space Treaty bans weapons of mass destruction in orbit or on the moon or anywhere else. And it also means that all the celestial bodies are open to mankind.
Did anyone tell China about that?
Yeah, which will presumably last until someone actually lands there.
Yeah, now it's ours.
Yes.
Could you take a medical titanium rod into space under that pretense?
That's what happened with the super gun, isn't
it?
The super gun?
When after the ban on NBC for Iraq.
Nuclear, biological, chemical. Yeah.
After the ban for that in Iraq, he started building an enormous... Saddam commissioned an enormous conventional gun with a bore of about a meter, I think.
Yeah. I think the basic thought was, if I can't have biological and chemical weapons, I'll make the biggest toughest gun I can.
They got a piece in...
Project Babylon.
Oh, it's cool.
There you are.
It fires guns.
But the whole thing sort of fell apart and whatever else. But they've got a section of the barrel in Duxford Air Museum. I think it was Duxford. Anyway, in one
barrel
of
length of 46 metres.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the baby one, the first one.
I'm looking around, looking at it. Made in Sheffield.
Yeah.
No way.
It was a company called Forge Masters, if I remember rightly, that were...
It does say here, the metal tubes were purchased from firms in the United Kingdom, including Sheffield Forge Masters.
That's it. And if you're going to have a steel company, you call it something
Sheffield
like
Forge Masters.
Forge Masters. Well, basically, they were told it was drainage pipe that they were making with a bore on it in the middle.
Yeah, we like to rifle our shit so it gets away from the city faster. Get right in the groove there.
Were there any bullets left in the gun? No, sir. By the time we got there, they'd been rifled.
Oh. Big Babylon was meant to be a one...
Sorry, big Babylon.
A one-meter bore super gun. A space gun. It would shoot into...
Oh, low orbit and then drop back down,
I seem to remember the guy... It was an MP or someone, the guy that basically rumbled the whole thing.
Yeah.
Did he come with the great phrase of, they said it was a sewage pipe, but how come it had a thumping great muzzle on the end?
Well, there's some lovely commentary here that neither of these devices could be elevated or trained, making them useless for direct military purposes. You couldn't aim them.
You just shot at something.
Yes.
I think you vaguely aim at something in the distance and whatever it hits on, you go, see, we could move it. And
it's, and it's also immobile, which means it had the same problem as Germany's V3. You can bomb it. It's there. It's 500 feet long.
You're not going to miss that, are you?
You're not going to miss that.
You could see it from Mars.
Or just fill the barrel with chocolate and watch it explode.
Right, we've filled it with fondant, lads. Next time it goes off, it's Mr. Lint all over again.
There is somewhere on Earth where the Mars flag is flying right now.
Stanley Robinson's backyard.
Somewhere it's officially flying by governmental decree.
Is it the same as another country's flag?
No.
Okay.
No.
Is it somewhere? Am I going to get bone obvious. Are we saying something like NASA or the European Space Agency or something
like that? It's one of their facilities, yes. The Flashline Mars Arctic Research Station, which is a great name.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Does anyone want to take a guess where that is?
In the Arctic.
In the Arctic.
Point. Absolutely.
It's not a guess. You told us the answer.
Oh, is the Flashline Arctic is the Flashline Arctic Research Station in the Arctic? No, it's in Venezuela.
I just read the name. I read the name. I didn't.
Where is that? Was intentional.
Keeping the point though.
There have been a couple of other fictional Mars flags. This is the one that's sort of vaguely acceptable. Does anyone want to take a guess what they might have been? Where they might have been?
Red background on blue letters. Mars.
Oh, you know what? You are so close.
Oh, okay.
It's not actually... It's red lettering. Well, it's red on a white background.
Yeah.
And it's not quite Mars, but something very similar. This is from Heinlein's Stranger in a Strange Land.
I've not read that one. I've read some Heinlein, but not that one.
It was simply the symbol for Mars, the male symbol, the circle with an arrow.
Oh.
The side effect of that being you are essentially just planting a sign that says, men!
What a surprise from Heinlein.
Yes, good point.
Basically, you'd be putting a flag that's got Austin Powers
Mojo symbol on it. Yeah. And meanwhile, on Venus, there's a flag that is just
there's a flag that's on fire. Well, briefly, before it's destroyed.
You say that there was a plan that someone came up with to colonise the upper atmosphere of Venus.
Oh, so what? Everyone fully just has orbital.
To tread water.
No, because the upper atmosphere is about atmospheric pressure. It's not, it's toxic air, but if it's at atmospheric pressure and you get a leak, I will walk up and I will seal
some
the
blue
leak.
Tack in it.
The temperature's about habitable. The pressure's about habitable. So if you can keep a giant balloon up there and the atmosphere is dense enough that you could do that because our air is lighter, you could theoretically have a bubble just sitting.
Just a bubble city.
Yeah.
Just cool.
Mind you, that titanium rod program is coming on a treat. Actually, going back to the earlier part of this conversation, could you get a chocolate bar that could do that?
I think re-entry might pose a problem for a Mars bar.
What if it were in a wrapper?
Well, like M&M.
So yeah. So what you're espousing is putting a Mars bar in like a round that will burn up perfectly through re-entry, leaving you with a solid Mars bar, which will then refreeze in the upper atmosphere.
Correct.
Slowly defrost slightly, and then, well, it's not going to be as damaging, but I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah.
It's like, the ultimate middle finger, isn't it? We're going to, well, I do believe we are going to attack you with nuclear weapons.
Ooh, Mars
nuclear
bar.
Nuclear weapons. that. We can take you down with a Mars bar.
Gentlemen, I have an announcement. I have a Yorkie strategically positioned over the major centres of the world.
Actually, yeah, that is your weapon of choice. Unless you can afford some of that posh dark chocolate, but I don't think the Swiss would sell it to you.
I don't think they'd do it. I don't think they'd do it. But so, yeah, basically, the weapon of choice for Britain in the space chocolate arms race has to be the Yorkie.
It has to be the Yorkie, yeah.
I mean, right, the Swiss will be wheeling out their Toblerone and all that, but you've got to keep up with the arms race. We'll just put up a fruit and nut one.
Also, I'm now with you saying the fruit and nut, I'm now channeling the start of Flash Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
Hot sultanas, hot hazelnuts.
Most effective, your majesty. Fudge sauce.
Just going around trying to catch it all with ice cream.
Sir, are you destroying the earth or making a dessert?
Both.
Little from column A.
Little from column B. But how many will die as a result of this attack? Hundreds and thousands.
Oh!
Mystery Biscuit!
Yes! Oh, yeah. You win! Tommy wins!
I feel we've been building towards that moment for the whole episode. Cut, print, let's go home.
At the end of the show, Gary, congratulations, you win! You won... You've won a holiday to a French resort with Sulu from Star Trek and the director of Transformers. It's George Takei and Michael Bay's week away in Saint-Tropez. Enjoy that. That's been Matt Gray. That's been Gary Brannan. That's been Chris Joel. I've been Tom Scott. We'll see you next time. That was our show. If you liked it, give us a comment and let us know. And there are more than 30 audio episodes of our Reverse Trivia podcast over at techdiff.co.uk.